When I was 15, weighed down by concerns about high school, algebra tests, term papers, girls, there was no better spot in the world to silence the mind than on top of a 35-foot windmill at my uncle's farm. In the spring, it was heaven up there on that platform. To the north, I could see hundreds of Black Angus cattle dotting the new grass of irrigated pastures, a scene fitting for Van Gogh's brush. To the south, way south, there were citrus orchards. The southern breeze blew in the sweet smell of orange blossoms. In the brushlands of South Texas, that was the second harbinger of spring. The first I could see to the west, the new sheen of emerald green covering miles of mesquite. The huizache trees, too, were adding their bright golds to the mix. Just a few days before, it had been a bleak brown landscape, but overnight, nature turned on her lights, and from the platform high above it all, as birds sang with greater enthusiasm and butterflies fluttered among the bluebonnets far below, I could witness the world being born again. And the windmill turned and squeaked. I think a windmill squeaking may be the only squeaking in life that is comforting. It's soothing somehow, perhaps because it is the sound of life itself being pumped from the ground. We used to keep metal coffee cups on hooks down by the water tank so we could get a fresh drink of water delivered pure and cold from deep in the earth whenever we wanted. I think photographs of windmills are the pictures Texans seem to love most of all. There is something romantic about them. The giant turbines are not loved like windmills, perhaps because they are so enormous they overpower rather than blend with the landscape, and windmills stand alone. Never in groups of 20 or 40, windmills seem independent and solitary. Historically symbolic of the Texas character, they have a unique place in our heritage. They transformed much of the land from arid to vibrant. This reminds me of a poem by the great cowboy poet Mike Muto. He makes this point about windmills far better than I can. This is called A Fitting Monument. It goes like this. In the dry land stands the monument of a dreamer. It is a testament to hope, to years of yearning. Standing tall above the grasses, rocks, and scrub oak, below a cloudless sky and sun so brightly burning, no babbling brooks cross here, just silent sand arroyos. Few linger here at all, fewer still would stake a claim. Only fools and dreamers could love this barren land. It doesn't suffer fools. Dreamers love it just the same. 'Twas the Homestead Act that brought him here to dream and sweat. It was the solitude and grass that made it feel right. But there were months when precious rains were non-existent. Each cloudless day brought another worried, weary night. All that changed when the air motor windmill was delivered. The well was dug, the tower raised, each rod and gear in place. The wind blew as always, but now it turned a shiny fan. And both the cowman's heart and dreams began to race. The cowman would talk about that day for years to come. How the blades spun, the rods creaked, how he paced and paced, and then water, precious water, poured from pipe to trough. Giving hope, a thing a man could actually taste. Within weeks, trails appeared around the water trough, as thirsty critters one by one found the water there, of course. Not just cows, but antelope, fox, and deer drank there. The tower, a beacon, led them to their water source. The story of the dreamer is old, but not forgotten. The tower still stands, although its working years are spent, a testament to one man's hope and all those years of yearning for a dreamer and a cowman, a most fitting monument. I'm W.F. Strong. These are stories from Texas. Some of them are true.